Hello, this is Como Sas, episode 3, and the podcast has done so well, we have a studio audience now, if they'd like to introduce themselves.
First, my name is Alfredo. I'm from Lucha Mania Monterrey.
My name is Terry Jr.
En español.
Mi nombre es... Todos me dicen Black Terry Jr.
Y yo soy Daniel González, el güey que hace las figuras.
And I'm Rob, you guys know who I am, and everybody was asking for Cecilia, so she's going to introduce herself now, even though she doesn't want to.
Hi, I'm Cecilia.
That was amazing. Okay, go ahead, Cubs.
Okay, so we didn't just get back from the anniversary show, because we've been fooling around for about 3 hours now, but we went to the anniversary show, we saw the photo exhibit on the photo exhibition of 80 Years of Lucha Libre today. And we ran into a lot of people, some people who are still here.
Well, before that, we met a certain CML guy, Alexis Salazar.
Even before that,
you forgot Alexis already.
We made our second trip to the CML parking garage, which is like our second.
It's our second home
right now. Because at the start of the day, even though there was an anniversary show today, we didn't actually have any tickets to him because Alexis had been holding for us. So we got to stop by. We weren't around in Mexico again before the show. And met up with him.
In classic, how would you say, gangster fashion, we traded a pair of motorcycle boots for our tickets to the anniversary
motorcycle
show.
Motorcycle boots, popcorn.
And Tony Salazar DVDs. Yes.
For our anniversary tickets.
So Alexis gave us our tickets. We talked for a while. Mm-hmm. While we were talking to Alexis, Demis came out. Demis 316, mm-hmm. ex Pequeño Damian, came out. And we saw him walk by, but we didn't get to talk to him.
But he seemed to be walking good, so maybe his knee's feeling better. We got the scoop. If you watch the show and you're curious why Alexis was just all in negro and all in black, he got in trouble last time for the light-up outfit because it messed up the camera lights. So he was told no fancy outfit this time.
Yep.
He's talked to us for about 15 minutes, despite having plenty of stuff to do. We also
shook hands. And then he took our tickets for Sunday and Tuesday.
Yeah, so we have no tickets for us or show, but it'll work out.
We'll get there somehow.
We also shook hands with his dad. His dad stopped
by. Oh, yeah,
we met
Tony Salazar.
His dad and his hand. We got to shake hands with the famous
hand. Crazy
hand. Yeah. We walked around. We looked at stuff before the show, and then we took off... to go to see the photo exhibit.
Chapultepec Exposición.
Mm-hmm.
See?
The traffic was bad because that was right when all the stuff with the teachers were starting, when they were getting evicted. Some of their own willing, some not. The traffic was bad. It took us a while to get there.
And I fell asleep.
And we walked by, we looked at the photos. A lot of the photos, most of the photos are from like the last, I would say, 10 years of...
Something like that. There were a couple old ones of Doña Aguilera, the old lady who used to always be in the front row. They have an old Blue Damon picture. They had Gran Davis, the ex-Rudo referee. But most of the pictures are pretty much new with all the photographers from ringside that you're used to seeing their pictures online. And while we were walking...
We saw Gonzalo, we saw Alexis, Rosalio.
Funnily enough, the only pictures of Místico, the original one, and Dr. Wagner Jr. are when people are beating the shit out of them.
It's
so
amazing how that...
I wonder if that's a coincidence.
Then this will get put on hold. We saw random people that we hadn't thought about in years. We saw... They had, like, pictures from, like, the Rosa Negra mask loss.
Mascara Púrpura was there.
In a white outfit, which is, like, he only wore, like, twice.
This is the second day in a row we've mentioned Mascara Púrpura on the podcast.
Yes, and that's...
Subliminal message.
It's not going to be a third.
No.
While we were there, we were pleasantly surprised because we found free Wi-Fi. So
free
we had
Wi-Fi,
to check
yeah.
our email. But then we... I was walking by, and we saw a man in a Canal 58 jacket, and I pointed out, and Cecilia talked to him, and it was Bottom from the show, from the Super Libre show, and we were just like shocked to just run into them randomly on the way, and the rest of the crew from the show was also there, Anna, who you may know on Twitter because she posts the Guadalajara results better than the person who's actually supposed to do that as their job, does that. We it was just a random occurrence. They got there that day, I believe.
And if not for the traffic, we probably would have missed them completely.
Yeah.
But but we ended up meeting them, which will make you very happy, Randy, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, yeah.
If
yeah.
you're listening to this, what else does he have to do? Yeah, he's listening.
He's. But we talked about the show. We talked about Randy a little bit, and they were very nice. They're staying near Irwin, New Mexico. They were going to go from the photo exhibit back to their hotel because they had to get more dressed up for the anniversary show.
Apparently, you should get dressed up for a function like this.
We went with I wore a Teton shirt and Rob wore a
old. I wore a CMLL T-shirt with a Maple Leafs jersey over it. Maple Leaf shout out, and then I switched it for the CMLL shirt that I bought at the arena.
So really,
for 120 pesos.
It doesn't get more classy than wearing wrestling shirts
to a wrestling event.
Yeah.
Yes.
The photos were all really nice. I liked the Oro Jr. one that I thought was Oro, with him doing a big dive. Some of the sections you can tell that they put a theme together, that there's like a whole bunch of flying moves.
La Mascara's Campania.
Yeah, they show one side of it and then they show in the other side of the move.
It's pretty cool because you're never gonna see in America or anywhere else, maybe Japan, but where you're just walking a major downtown street and there are pictures of, you know, wrestling all over for blocks and blocks and you're never going to see that in America, but here it was just, there were people just walking by and looking at it, taking pictures. It kind of shows, you know, Lucha Libre is very much a part of the Mexican culture, not just like some sideshow sport like wrestling is, you know, in America.
It wasn't just us Lucha fans who were going down there, just people walking down the street, going from place to place. We were stopping, looking at the photos. We overheard some conversation about someone thought Ultimo Guerrero was going to lose his mask tonight. And that fan turned out to be very, very wrong.
Yes.
As both of we did yesterday. So, you know, we're not putting blame on him. I think after that, we came back.
No, this is where everybody chants, Frau,
We came back to the hotel, and then we went back to the show. We went around looking at more souvenirs, I think, again, right?
Yeah, we looked around. We found some. We got the action figures earlier.
Yeah.
Not dolls, action figures.
Yes, but we pick up, what was it? You guys got, I know I got a sticker. You guys got little, you guys pick up stuff, but I can't.
We picked up like.
Magnets, yeah. That's right.
Very cheap, 30 pesos, 20 pesos.
They really, by the time the show was about to start, there were stands everywhere, just all sorts of merchandise. Besides just the masks and the shirts you expect, all sorts of little trinkets that you would like, that you they'd like to look for. I think we're going to Expo Mascaras tomorrow, and we'll probably see a lot more stuff like that there.
All the money I have will be gone by tomorrow.
We tried to go in the show. We went to the wrong door because there were so many people that they had to send the people who were paid too much money for your tickets around to the other side. So
yeah, if you sit in the gradas, the upper section, there's like an alternate entrance for you. And then if you go to the entrance where we were supposed to go because we were sitting up close, first of all, we should mention the security is pretty tight there. You have to get checked by like four different people and they go through your bag if you bring something in. And you're basically patted down twice.
Yeah.
Although I think the second guy just did it for fun. And then they let you in. And if you sit in the floor, they have like a line of people who...
Ushers,
basically, yeah. And
who walk you to your
walk
seat.
You, for a tip, of course, they walk you to your seat. And basically, you can get served. I mean, there are people walking by with food and drinks, so you don't even have to get up if you don't want to for the entire show. But we went to find our seats quickly just to see what it was like. And pretty cool when you walk into a building with so much history, like Arena Mexico. Right away, you think about all the famous matches that they've had there. And now tonight, you get to be a part of history, be it the 80th anniversary show. Right away, we noticed the stage was, there was a new, the screen looked different. There was something, the stage was different, was the same, but the screen was very different. And it looked nice, the lighting was much better. And the view is incredible. I mean, the seats are all elevated, so there really isn't a bad seat in the house unless you're all the way at the top in the back.
Yeah, you probably saw the picture I posted on Twitter, hopefully if you're listening to this, or go back and look at it. We had Four for Ho was really good. We didn't have as good seats as some people had who were Premier Fila by the end of the show. But, never mind.
I think he's hinting at the fact that Black Terry Jr. magically appeared in the front row in the middle of the show. And now they're going to translate it for Black Terry.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much Black Terry paid for that.
We asked him how he ended up there, and his only answer was, I'm VIP.
Yeah.
So... but yeah, we're not VIP, so we were stuck in the fourth row, which was still incredible. And Then we went out into the...
atrium.
The foyer. I like foyer. Yeah, okay. It sounds better. We went into the foyer where they had the mural set, where we took pictures of the mural that they painted the other day. And actually, I didn't notice this, but Cubs fan, you know, he's on the ball. He noticed it, that they have pictures of masks up, and the masks are actually in order of who lost their mask over the years inside Arena Mexico. So that's pretty neat. So it goes back from, like, Ray Cometa, Mercurio, and so forth and so forth. You know, you follow throughout the history of all the mask losses.
Yeah, you can go back to the beginning. They had, like, it wasn't really a Lucha mask. It was old Azteca mask. And it was really well done. There's masks you completely forgot about that people lost. I saw, like, the original Dragon Rojo's mask, and I think I've only seen it in one picture. So whoever did this did more work than looking at the Lucha Wiki.
But they had current wrestlers, too, as part of the mural, and they even had some of the regular fans that you see on TV, like the old lady who walks with the cane. She was in the pictures beside Valiente. And we also went to the CML store. They actually do have a store inside there, but it's pretty small. They just got masks, and they have T-shirts, and I bought a couple shirts. We bought some. They had, like, small. Basically, you can find more stuff outside than you can inside the actual arena, which is kind of weird, but I guess CML is not in the business of selling stuff.
We also got the official program, so.
Oh, wait, Cecilia wanted me to mention that you were entitled to a free poster when you came in, but apparently, by free poster, they mean your group gets a free poster. So if you come in with 7 or 8 people, you get one poster.
But if you come in by yourself, you get one poster.
It's very strange, and it's very cheap, too.
But we negotiated, too.
We ended up getting two, and I got one right away, and I'm not sure who the other one's going to, but...
The other one will be a surprise, but the person who will get it will be very happy to get it. We also saw Enrique.
Enrique Iniesta, when we took our CT walk by, and we introduced ourselves.
And he offered to help out any way he could, and he was very nice.
He had front row seats.
So
I wonder how he pulls that off.
He's
very well connected.
Yeah.
But he was a gentleman. He was the only person in the building clapping by the end of that main event.
Now, besides the stuff, and the camera found him.
So everybody was throwing
those
trash.
Those two things may be connected. He was clapping and the camera found him.
Yeah. Somehow, that camera is very invasive. Everywhere you look, that camera is just in your face, like pointing it at the crowd.
We went around the building and we saw small shops outside, but CML also has an official store inside.
Oh, I talked about that while you were busy talking with other people.
Priorities.
Yes.
Then I just need to talk about, they had the inflatable, like, boxing dummies for Niebla and Volador. Some ridiculous items. I'm not sure why you would buy them at a wrestling show, but they didn't have that many T-shirts as you would expect.
No, they didn't have much of, there's more selection outside. Much more selection outside than there was inside.
And then the other interesting thing that we saw is, and you understood this better than I, to tighten the ring, to set up the ring, they don't go under a ring. They stick like a metal pole inside or something.
Right, because that ring never moves. Mm-hmm. So to tighten it up, you know, it's not as much work as setting up a ring on a U.S. show where you got the boards and...
Where the ring moves from building to building.
Basically, you need a bunch of people to set up a ring. Here, the ring just stays in its place, and they just tighten it with this giant little wrench thingy.
Yeah.
And they were doing it during the matches, which was strange.
Okay. Before we go match by match, I think we have to talk about the big star of the show. He's the future of CML. He was the guy who was chanting his name at the end. It seems like the focus of CML's promotion was to promote this guy, and the crowd was even chanting his name when we left the building.
I'm confused.
But I haven't seen him on the card. I guess they would call him Fraude.
Yes, Fraude. Fraude.
Biggest star, biggest name, the guy who got the biggest chance on the night.
The show went a lot different than we were expecting. About halfway through, something happened that really confused us. But we should start at the beginning.
Okay, the opener was...
They started on time.
Yeah, they started even
for those of who think that all Mexican shows start an hour after they're supposed to, they started right on time.
CML's pretty good at that Friday night. So they were even, like, maybe 5-10 minutes before in rolling video of past big mass matches. They showed Volano 3 Atlantis. They showed Ultimo Guerrero, Volano 4. They showed Volano 5.
Yep.
Sombra versus Felino. They showed Sombra versus Olympico at the end of the game.
Super popular.
Sombra versus But the one thing that we picked up is that they cheered a lot for Atlantis. They cheered a lot for Volano 3, and then they booed Sombra so badly. It was a bad omen even at that point.
This was not a Sombra crowd, and I think I actually turned to Cecilia during the before the show started, while they were doing the videos. And I said, this crowd is going to be very unhappy if they get Sombra versus Volador Jr. And that was a big foreshadow of things to come.
We saw them set up for Fox Sports and do the intro about like 45 minutes before the show. Mm-hmm. I didn't see them do a second intro, so I think that means only an hour of the show is airing on Fox Sports unless they do a special or something. I guess it aired. Obviously, we couldn't see the thing on Terror, and if you run my Twitter, you found out that I screwed up, and so you won't be seeing the thing on Terror, according to me. Maybe someone else did, or someone will put it up. But it sounds like the feed, except for going down at the end of the first match, it went well, the whole thing. People, I saw people making nice comments about the feed, so I'm glad it worked out. A lot of U.S. promotions, when running a show where people pay for it and there's less people watching, it kind of fail on these occasions. And then stop putting on live shows on iPay-Per-View. But CML and Terror figured it out. And that's, I mean, that's one thing they figured out right today.
Yeah. Well, actually, I assume we're going to start getting into the cards. So I forgot to mention. See, so much happens. We forget to mention stuff. So while we were in the foyer, we saw Brazo de Oro. We saw Sky, Jorge Rivera. Yeah. I wanted to take a picture, but I was too nervous to approach him because he was busy talking with Brazo de Oro. And we ran into Miguel Linares.
Yes.
Who we shook his hand, we said hi, and he was very excited for the show that was coming up later on.
He had no idea. We did a lot of people we introduced with our Twitter names or something so people know where we are, but we did not do that with Miguel Linares. Right. I don't think that would have made a difference. The show started with the
Fireworks display.
The fireworks, they spent a lot of money on fireworks this time. A
lot of fireworks.
The opener was, they didn't spend as much time on the entrances. I wonder if that was a time entrance.
Everybody came out together. Yeah. If it was a six-man tag or if it was a tag match, everybody, no separate entrances.
I think the only exception was the Relevo Suicidas. Yeah. So we had Team Mexico, which was Fuga, Reika Mata, and Stuka. And if I'm Mexican, those are the three people I want representing me against the world. Versus Namahage, Okamura, and Ishii. And I wouldn't feel the same way if I was Japan. But the Japanese team was good. Ishii fit in better than I thought. The whole strategy was that Ishii and Stuka would just hit each other hard for a long period of time. I'm not sure if that's going to keep working with people who aren't Stuka, but it worked for this night.
I disagree. I thought Ishii was terrible, and I don't care how many New Japan fans are listening to this and don't like that opinion. But it was only his first match. So I will cut him. I'll cut him some slack, and maybe he'll get better as it goes on. But him and Stuka beat the crap out of each other.
Yes.
But he was in the wrong place during the technical comeback. At one point, they were going for a monkey flip, and Ishii was crawling around the ring for some reason. I don't know if he dropped the contact lens or something, but it screwed up the spot, and then Namahage took a bad bump off a monkey flip. But they got it back on track. How'd the first fall end? The first fall was a Japanese one.
Right. They won with their normal moves. Okamura did the
Choku Driver, right? And before that...
And then Ishii did the German suplex. That's right.
It's a good thing we have a crowd to help us out.
Second fall, Ruiz kept it all the way through, laying the second fall. It's kind of weird that we're doing match descriptions when I'm thinking most of you actually got to see this show live.
Right. So basically, we should just give our overall comments.
So I thought it was a good opener. I thought it was fit for the occasion. I thought the all the Mexican
except
guys.
Except the result. The result kind of sucked.
The results kind of sucked, but the Mexican guys all got their big spots. And Cometa did the brilliant Cometa, and it looked spectacular in person.
Fantastic. That is going straight to my YouTube page when I can upload with free Wi-Fi. I got it on my phone. It was an awesome spot to see live. Rarely will you see something like that better in person. You're never going to see anything like that in America.
Fugo's tope, too. You really put his
Fuego, head on. Yeah, Fuego did two topes in a row. Namahage almost got in the way, but got out of the way just in time. And in general, you know, fine performance. I mean, I wouldn't call it a great match, but it was perfectly fine opener. No complaints about it.
And then...
except the finish. Sorry. I'm going to keep saying that.
The Team Japan took falls 1-3 the last one. The Ishii hanging half-hour superplex was kind of impressive.
Yeah, the crowd was impressed by the delayed suplex deal. And then after the match, I don't think Terra caught it because I was watching the big screen, but they ripped up Stuka's mask.
Yes, and the other technicos had to break that up. So maybe they're going more with that, but Ishii's bald and he's not wearing a mask.
And he's probably not staying too long.
Don't count on that.
God. I quit.
Yeah, you quit. The second match was the only one that actually had a substitution on the night, so maybe that's what they were complaining about. They wanted a Fisto, and they got Euphoria, and that was a big fraud.
Maybe that was the fraud chance, because Hefesto no-showed, so it was Euphoria, Niebla Roja, Mephisto, dressed up like the devil.
Yes.
Against Super Porky, Titan, and Maximo, who came out with Kemonito, but Kemonito disappeared 1 minute into the match. Where did he go? Nobody knows where he went.
They sent all the mascots to the back after they came out for the match. I'm not sure if there was something.
Yeah, but Kemonito can't go to the back by himself because he can't get off the apron. So I'm not really sure where he disappeared to.
Someone must have helped him.
I got some good pictures of him though. He's adorable.
I don't have as many details written about this one.
Well, we're not going to go move by move anyways. But let's just say we were blown away when Maximo. He climbed up the ropes from the ramp and did a hurricanrana.
Yes.
Which I've never seen him do before. So
that was something El Mesper Dorado's played.
Yeah, he was super motivated for some reason.
And so was his dad, because his dad did the tope that he's teased for like 5 years.
Somebody sent out a tweet saying that Super Porky thinks it's 1987 all over again tonight, because he was all over the place. He did his tope suicida. Mm-hmm. He did a plancha off the top rope, which was crazy. He got helped onto the second rope and did a Mil Máscaras style plancha onto Mephisto, which was pretty. The crowd loved it. I mean, the crowd was. You guys might watch Porky and think, "Oh man, this guy sucks. He's so slow." But live, that whole match was all about Super Porky.
He was the one the crowd was cheering over Titan and Maximo. It was really a match where the technicals got to show off and the rhythms were kind of there. Mephisto showed off by having the awesome outfit.
Yep, and by picking up Porky for that finish.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Rosa,
he held Porky in midair for like 10 seconds,
or double chicken wing if you don't know lucha moves. Like.
Sure.
Another
good match, no complaints.
Yeah.
Actually, it exceeded my expectations because I thought it would just be all comedy.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Studio audience, good match. Yes.
Generally, I think everyone worked very, very hard on the show, but that was the one where it made the most difference. I mean, they didn't limit themselves to usual routine, like Super Porky, how we've been talking about, he does the same match wherever he's
doing.
That wasn't the match that he did there. Marco, in the next match, mixed it up a little bit from what he did.
Right.
He did some of his usual stuff, but he did different stuff too.
Okay, well, when we get to the next match, I'll make my comment. Yeah, let's do the next match.
Okay, so the next match was the Rebels Incredibly Blaze, and I think we had the teams wrong.
We definitely did, yes.
Preview.
My fault, probably.
It was the Alliance who end Rush, which is Terrible, Negro Casas, and Shocker. Versus
Shocker got a huge reaction,
by the way. Shocker was so far more over than I expected.
Yeah.
That really, it kind of gives me more perspective why they use him what like they do. It was versus Rush, Marco, and Vangelis. And seeing Vangelis in the match, I kind of accepted it when they put in the lineup, but seeing Vangelis in the match, I have no idea why Vangelis was in this match, other than he's a kind of a heavyweight guy, and
Euphoria
had something else to do.
When Vangelis came out, complete silence. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
They were in awe of Vangelis, is all we could figure. He was just
The crowd was in awe. But he got his TRT music, so that was interesting.
Yeah.
And and then Rush came out to Chris Benoit's music.
Yes, as everyone, as the U.S. internet found out that someone's using Chris Benoit's music and kind of exploded, so that was good.
It's like, you know, I don't know, you know, is basically what Dave Meltzer would be saying right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was, the whole match was Negro Casas versus
Rush.
The crowd,
it was 18,000 people versus Rush at times.
Basically, nobody liked Rush. They all jumped him when he got in the ring after his entrance, and the crowd was super hot. Like, you can't even explain it. I'm going to try to put up some of the video I took, but the crowd just screaming, Negro, Negro, trying to get him to beat up Rush, and Rush dropkicked the shit out of everybody in the match.
Yeah, I give Mark credit for staying out of the ring when they were doing all the dropkicks to the face.
Yep.
That's a smart move. Just
Definitely.
Don't get hit. He's got an acting career to think about.
Right, right.
They
first of all went to team.
While Negro and Rush were killing each other outside and no one was paying attention, Marco and Vangelis got their moves on the other two guys.
Well, Negro got dumped right in front of us into the crowd. And I don't think Tara got it because it wasn't on the big screen and they were doing the finish of the match in the ring, the first fall in the ring. So. But they were right in front of us. Basically, Rush was choking. People were chanting, Culero, Pendejo. So, Rush, not a popular guy.
No, he was going to go.
And he headbutted the camera.
Yes. Yeah, one of the things you notice when you watch it live is that the cameraman is making the signal to Rush. Like, this is time to do it. And then Rush does it, and it turns out the camera's not on. So he has to wait 5 seconds and go ahead and do the same kind of angry motion. Completely natural. Not at all fake at all. But you know, professional, you deal with it.
This was another match where Zacharias came out with Negro Casas, but disappeared before the match started. I don't know, maybe they had a rule, no mascots on this show.
Which was,
it's probably for his own safety, though.
Yeah, it made for a lot.
Rush would have killed him.
Yeah, Rush was killing everybody, so he probably would have killed him, too. Yeah, that spot early on where Rush was just going dropkick one corner.
To the next corner. Mm-hmm. Overall, I thought, I mean, it went two falls, definitive. We thought the match was over, but we forgot that
who was on whose team.
Right, so we thought it was a double pin to end the fall, but it turns out they just split things 1-1, and then Shocker tried to climb to the
top rope,
and then he slipped, and he just jumped off the apron, Super Porky style.
And so, he's getting that way. So, they took out Shocker and Marco, so Negro and Rush came in. Rush hit Negro with the dropkick to the face in the corner once. Negro kicked out. Rush went to do it again. Negro moved that
Negro
time.
Negro double stomped the shit out of him off the top rope, right on his throat. It was pretty sick.
And it's an appropriate move to use on Rush, the double stomp.
Yes, definitely.
And
then they did the finishing deal where
Rush kicked out.
Right.
Which was kind
Negro
of
Negro held the ropes, and the ref caught him, and then Rush used the ropes and pinned Negro Casas.
Right.
Which pissed the crowd off, but Rush gets the win, and Negro Casas loses. But apparently, we have an inside source in this room right now who tells us that this is heading somewhere. So don't worry, people. There will be a conclusion.
No.
And there may be a story along the way, an unexpected story that most of you will enjoy, especially if you're a fan of old school wrestlers.
Everyone, I guess, just from the little bit I've seen of Twitter, everyone thinks that Rush turned Rudo, but I think this is Rush just being Rush.
Yeah.
And they're not going anywhere he's just the guy on the technical side. Everyone gets a boo.
Pretty much. And he showed no problems with Marco, so I assume the Buffete de la Mora is still a trios team.
Yeah. I don't think they remember. It was too long.
Yeah.
After that, we had the Panther versus the Bruno submission match, which was...
It turned out to be a submission match.
They actually followed the rules, they said, except for the... It turned out to be three falls, and they said one fall earlier, but close enough.
I think the main point of this match, Alfredo was right. On Twitter, he wrote that, Tirantes is a fantastic referee. He did a great job in this match because when they actually need to follow rules, I think he's the one ref who actually does understand the rules. So he was refusing to count pinfalls, which the crowd thought was pretty humorous when Averno kept trying to get pinfalls. And then when they rolled to the floor, Tirantes would count one, but then he wouldn't keep counting because obviously there were no countouts. The first two falls were actually pretty just rapid-fire Ultimo Guerrero match style. Just the first submission Panther put on, he won. The first submission Averno put on, he won. And we were tied 1-1 into a long, great third fall.
Yeah, I think the crowd wasn't into this match at first, especially when they were doing an early mat work and it was stuff they didn't think anyone was going to win with. But as they got later in the match, especially after Blue Panther did his first tope, or tope, or whatever I'm supposed to announce
tope.
They really got into it. It was just nice to see
knocking Averno right in front of us again.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't like someone told them to play to our side, like maybe some other show, but it worked out that way for whatever reason.
What do you think of the match?
I thought it was really good. I thought they made convincing. I mean, the hard part was going to be to convince people that Averno could actually win. And even before the actual finish, where Averno did win, they had some great submission holds where it looked like Blue Panther was going to be in trouble. Blue Panther never got the Nudo Aguinero on. He tried to get it once very early in the third fall, and Averno got away. That was kind of a surprise.
I thought it was a pretty good match. I thought a lot of cool counters, a lot of back and forth. They did a couple dives. Mephisto got hit by a dive.
Yes.
Panther did a backwards plunge off the top rope, which was pretty crazy for a guy his age.
Yeah.
But I thought all the submissions were cool. The crowd was really into it when he got him in the tapatia. They were screaming.
Yeah, they thought that was it.
Yeah, and there were a couple times where the crowd thought the match was over. And then the finish, I thought the finish was cool when they threw Panther got Averno in a submission move. And Mephisto tossed in the towel, but the towel was behind Tirantes. So before Tirantes could see it, Mephisto pulled the towel out of the ring. Blue Panther saw the towel was in the ring and tried to point out the referee's mistake. And when Tirantes went to check with Mephisto, Averno jumped on Blue Panther and put him in a choke. Well, tried to put him in a chokehold. Didn't really work out too well. But they went down and he choked him out, MMA style.
Yeah, he pulled out the Tasmission.
And the crowd was, pretty stunned, actually. I don't think many people expected, I know one person, that'd be me, who expected Averno to win. But most of the crowd seemed pretty shocked that Panther lost and they gave him a haircut. This is not AAA. They shaved his head. They cut his hair. And Averno got the big celebration, got carried around the ring. And that's that. Averno moves on, I guess. Yeah. He's got to find some new maestros to pick on.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise to him. It came off it like it was a surprise to him that he actually pulled off his trick as much as to the fans, who I think were really expecting Blue Panthers to win that match in the end.
It was an awesome, after the match, Mephisto like looked at Averno like, you won! And they both jumped in the air and they hugged each other. Yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah. I think this was also this was really good. It might have been the best match on the show. You could argue other matches.
You could argue, sure. I would say this was up there, yeah. And then the show fell off a cliff.
I don't know where Blue Panther goes from here. If he's just going to be, if this might be like the retirement kind of thing, that not that he's going to retire tomorrow, but this was his last big match, and then he's just going to be around until they slowly work him out. But
I don't even know if he can grow his hair back at his age.
No.
We'll see.
Well, it grew back from the Negro Casas one. So, but
it took a while.
It'll take a while.
That was like 18 months ago.
And
he still had bald spot tonight.
I don't remember exactly where they were, but we also had the two Etikon dance segments. Yeah. They were both pretty good. I can't believe they had one where they dressed everyone up in fetish outfits, basically. And somehow Erica Canseco got stuck with like a traffic uniform, orange, ugly thing that she had to try to dance and be sexy, and I felt bad for her. But
there were about 30 Etikonas. There were way too many Etikonas. I don't know where they find these girls, but they keep multiplying like gremlins. Yeah.
I noticed that Allie, because she's short, was put up in front a lot of the times. So I think that made her friends on the internet very happy.
I guess, yeah.
The next actual match was the...
Friends on the internet? She doesn't have any friends on the internet, just creepy stalkers. Stalkers,
yes.
How's it going, Kevin?
The next match was the tag match, decided what would be the mask match. And the crowd was very into Ultimo Guerrero and Atlantis, somewhat less into Volador, who was wearing his classic outfit, and then very, very against Sombra. And the moment Sombra got up on the ropes to pose before the match, you could see in his eyes that he knew the crowd wasn't happy with him, and it was going to be a very long night. So whatever people say in the future days about how surprised him all of the reaction was with the reaction of what happened, the wrestlers knew what the crowd was going to do once they knew what the finishes were.
Anyone who paid attention before the show, who the crowd was into of the video packages, should have known Sombra was going to get booed. And that this crowd, I noticed there were a lot of older people there. They were here to see Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero. Mm-hmm. That was the match they wanted to see.
Those are their guys. These are just Boulder and Sombra, just some new guys who showed up 2 minutes ago to them.
They were like a distraction. And then we had this match. Only went about 7 or 8 minutes, I'd say, tops.
Yeah, it sort of Terror seemed like, from what I could tell from the video board, missed it. But Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero had this big stare-off. And Ultimo Guerrero put out his hand, and Atlantis tentatively shook his hand. And they both jumped Boulder and Sombra after that. I think that's where they picked up on TV.
Sure.
They did
two dives,
yeah.
Somersault, and then a plancha by Atlantis.
I was concerned. It didn't really hit me at the time, but I noticed that Ultimo Guerrero was making sure to get in all his moves, like Ultimo Guerrero does in the Ultimo Guerrero match. And it makes sense to me, because clearly he was coming back later for a mask match. Why does he need to do his moves now? But maybe he just allowed him to do them twice.
And Volador and Sombra got nothing in.
Yeah, nothing
they in. They did. There was nothing. No dives, no big moves. I mean, the only move they got in, basically, was the finish when... They went for it was the Ultimo Guerrero Plex got countered, I want to say. I'm wrong here, aren't I?
Maybe he got turned around to the Spanish Fly at that point.
Yeah.
And then I was shocked to see...
the Atlantida was countered into the Sombra Suplex.
The Brillante Driver.
Yep.
Which I was surprised, because I thought, why would they let Atlantis kick out of Sombra's big move? That doesn't make any sense.
And then
Atlantis never kicked out.
Right.
I don't know what happened.
And then, see, Atlantis got pinned a couple seconds before Ultimo Guerrero did. And I was thinking, oh, well, Ultimo Guerrero's going to pin Volador, and then we'll have a tie, and then we'll have the tiebreaker. But they didn't. They just pinned both of them. Just in 7 or 8 minutes, the crowd was, I mean, it was stunning.
Yeah, it was like about maybe 15, 20 seconds when they were all stunned. And then they remembered that they could chant fraud now. And
yes.
So that's what they did for
then
those
things
the show.
Turned ugly. This was a really, really like loud, animated crowd. It's the loudest I've ever heard Arena Mexico. I mean, obviously, it's my first time live, but it came across like this was the loudest crowd. They were super into everything up until that point. And at that point, nobody who came out next stood a chance. The crowd just, all they wanted to do was chant fraud. They booed a lot. Even, I mean, the dancers came out afterwards.
They got booed.
All these pretty women got booed. They got fraud chanted at them. And then, of course, the next match...
I don't know if there's any fraudulent parts of those women. Not at
no,
all.
No, no, no. Those women are 100% natural. That's Maybe when, that's what they were chanting for. You got a good point.
But yeah, they lost the crowd at that point, basically. I mean, yes. It sounds like it came along stronger on TV, but the people in the arena were just pissed off for 15 minutes.
Say it.
The people, there was also a time when people started yelling Triple
H. Oh, yeah. Yes, there were Triple H chants also.
Which is great.
You know, there are certain CML people on the internet who will deny it and say, oh, there was nothing like this. But I can assure you, there were AAA chants and there were loud fraud chants, of course, and tons of booing. And it was very surprising. I didn't think they would go as far as AAA chants because you don't really hear that type of thing at CML shows. But yeah, they would definitely AAA chants.
The fans obviously felt like it was a bait and switch that they were promised ultimately in the lens and they got something else. The rules were really clear beforehand, but I think everyone was convinced that Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero are Otro Nivel, and they were just going to walk over these Jovens and get into this mass match with no problem. And they really fell. They tried to build up Atlantis. They've tried to build up Boulder and Sombra as bigger stars, but they really should have built them up by facing Atlantis and Ultimo Guerrero so people know this finish was something that was actually possible to happen. When the card was announced, not just about that match, but there were people complaining that there were no minis and there were no women. They might as well have had the minis or women in that next match, because whoever was there was just dead. And the Revolutionaries and the Estates had a match that would be a good main event on a Sunday Arena Coliseo show.
Somebody actually yelled out, this match should be an Arena Coliseo, Esta Lucha Versa Arena Coliseo.
Yeah, and that, I don't think that guy meant in a good way. But, no. I mean, they had the match that they would have had that you have seen on the Sunday afternoon, and they tried their best, but the crowd was just completely rejecting them. They were the Revolutionaries at one point tried to turn to booze for themselves, but even then they weren't being bought. And you could see it was messing with some of them. I think
it definitely frazzled some guys.
The Pulvor, it seemed like he was really annoyed by it. Other people were just not very happy. They did their spots, but they were doing their interactions with the crowd, but by rehearsal, but not because they thought it would actually work at all.
Right. And the Estetas came out in matching white outfits, which was pretty cool. The Revolucionarios came out with a gun that they fired into the air. And they danced with the Aracanes, of course.
That was the biggest risk that CML took on the show, is to give the Revolutionarios guns that shoot something.
Definitely.
I don't trust Dragon Rojo, I don't trust Pulvor to shoot the gun in the right spot.
And so the Revolucionarios took the first fall pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah.
And then the Estetas came back in the second fall. We had... How did the second fall go?
It was Valiente used his front cracker move.
Right. And then Mascarada did the running down the ramp, a flip over the top rope, onto a scorpion, into a sunset flip driver type move.
Gold Rush, someone named it.
Gold Rush. That sounds great.
And then Místico went out of his way so he could do the same dive Volador did.
Yeah, Místico did it from higher. Místico jumped from the top.
From the ramp.
Because Volador jumped from low.
No, he did the one in the last Volador Sombra match where he stepped on the speaker.
Yeah, he stepped on the speaker. There was definitely, this match definitely seemed like CML wanted Místico to be the star. I'm not really sure that was the way to go after, you know, you just ripped the fans off of having Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero.
Yeah, when they're already saying fraud, you don't want to put the new Místico out there.
You don't want to put an actual fraud in the ring, you know, wrestling. But, the third fall was exactly what you expect. Everybody got their spots in. Valiente was first. Arm dragged Pulvera to the floor. Next up was Místico. And Reyes Scorpion is amazing and made Místico look like $1 million. Just all over the place for the guy. Head scissors to the floor off the top rope.
Yeah.
Then Máscara Dorada, everybody's hero, entered the ring. He got to work with Dragonda Roja Jr. And he took him to the floor, but he didn't do anything. Then he worked double team spots with the Scorpion and Pulvera.
Yeah.
And then we set up the triple dive, the Sai moonsault, double somersaults, got a huge reaction. Mm-hmm. That was the first time the crowd actually cheered something since the finish of the match before.
Right. So,
then we had the other triple dive.
Yeah.
A couple near falls, nothing special. And then we had the triple dive where, first we had the Valiente special, which was fantastic.
Then we had Dorada.
Cecilia loved it.
We had Dorada doing a super torneo.
It's like a springboard forward torneo. Easily the best move of the night. Right, even better than the Brillio Cometa.
I think it was... I'm not sure if I've even seen him do that before.
I've never seen him do that move. That was absolutely insane. And he did it to the part where there's not much space in between the guardrail. And he had Dragon Rojo Jr. catching, which is scary. And then we had Místico's springboard shooting star press. On to guess who? Reyes Scorpion. So somebody trusts him.
It was clear that they want Reyes Scorpion to work with Místico at all times.
Yeah, the guy won't. Well, his shoulder was taped up. He hurt himself in Guadalajara on Sunday.
And then those two found their way back in the ring to do the La Místico.
Místico and Dragon Rojo found their way back into the ring. So just like you predicted in the write-up, actually. Yeah. And Místico got La Místico. It's over. They got the titles.
Yeah,
the old school Místico.
The old school Místico, not the new one.
Not the new one. Phantasma made his one yearly appearance in Arena Mexico, the handover of titles and bows and pitchers.
Was there a VIP section in the crowd?
Yeah, there's a VIP section behind us, so we've been on the hard camera side that I don't know. We don't know who the people were, but they must have been famous people because the ushers were taking pictures with the people in the seats. So the VIP seats were even sold out at that point. We should talk about the crowd. The crowd, I know we were told it was going to be a full house, and it looked that way. I think there were scared seats maybe, I guess, on the, I'm trying to think, if we're on the ground floor, maybe the second level up behind the cages, on the extreme last seats, maybe there were empty seats. And on the very, very top, maybe around the edges were empty seats, but they all had also closed off a couple areas that they ended up reopening to fill up because there were so many people.
Basically, the tickets they wanted to sell, they sold.
Yeah.
So they got everything sold. It was like 95%. Mm. But there were two seats in front of us that were empty the entire show. So some scalpers screwed.
Yeah, that's their problem.
Right. But, I mean, full building, so, you know, if people try to say it's not, you know, they're lying.
And so that takes us to the main event. And Soundproof. Here's three ways you know that someone's not losing their mask in a mask match. Number one, you're wearing a mask that you've never worn before. It doesn't look like a normal mask, so when it hangs up at a trophy, no one would know what it was. The second clue is that the opponent is wearing his classic mask that everyone knows what it is and will it be permanently recognizable. And the third way is that your father, who lost his mask long ago, wears his mask, the old mask, the whole match, so he can dramatically take it off at the end of the match. So, despite that, we were still able to talk ourselves into thinking at times that Sombra was going to lose his mask.
Well, I see. Well, first of all, Sombra looked like Diamante. He didn't really look like Sombra.
Or he looked like the 90s Sombra, even.
Yeah, even more like the 90s, the mid-90s CMLL Sombra, the black and white version. Mm-hmm. But I kept trying to talk myself into the fact that Sombra was going to lose this match because the crowd was so angry. And I figured the only way they could make this crowd happy was to shock them by unmasking Sombra, because then the crowd, I think, would have turned around and been like, oh, well, I guess it's okay we didn't get Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero because we got a huge unexpected unmasking.
And Boulder, I mean, between the two, they much prefer Boulder or Sombra. Boulder, they at least believe, is kind of real, and Sombra, they feel like it's kind of a creation of CMLL.
We should address the whole... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What was the other... Go ahead, because I forgot.
I just want to address the whole, you know, the fraud thing. I know there are even people in this room who disagree with me, but I'm going to say my opinion. You can chant fraud, but they announced the match was going to be 2-on-2, and the losing team faces each other in a mask match. The winning team faces each other in a mask match. And the tickets went on sale, I think, 2 weeks, or close to 2 weeks after that announcement was made. So if you bought a ticket, I can understand you're disappointed. You didn't get to see Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero. But you can't chant fraud, because it's not a fraud. It's not like they sent, you know, a cage match and had Tirantes lose his hair in the ring instead of one of the advertised wrestlers. But I do get the disappointment that the fans wanted to see the match and they didn't get to see it. But on the other hand, you're going to see the match. It's going to happen at some point, either in March next year or by March of next year. And the other thing is that... I mean, you got a good match. Sombra and Volador was perfectly fine, and if you want to blame anybody, don't take your anger out on the wrestlers who were trying to have a great match and you were just booing the shit out of them the entire time. Be mad at CMLL. They should have known that it was going to be like this. I mean, we knew it was coming before. The fans wanted to see Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero, and if they wanted Sombra and Volador to be the match, they should have really, really emphasized it in the build-up to the show, that these are the guys that you want to see in the mask match more than Atlantis Ultimo Guerrero. So it's CML's own fault for not making this seem like the better match to have.
Yeah, you know, I think they would have, maybe they would have lowered prices a little bit, but they would have done pretty good if they just announced Sullenberg and Volador as the main event to begin with. And
it would have been a happier crowd.
It would have been a happier crowd. The crowd know what they were getting into. Just the playing games with stuff, it's CML has this fan base that doesn't really trust it, the promotion, to do the right things a lot of times. And this is, and they're kind of, I think, the reason they chant fraud is that they were ready to chant fraud as soon as something happened. They don't give CML much benefit of the doubt because they haven't always followed through on what they should be doing.
And pretty much, yeah.
Besides Super Parker or Volador Sr., who was there with his son, Brillante was actually made an appearance. I think he's with his son. I think he's appeared when they've done. Was he there for the other match, or was he there for a Grand Alternative one time?
He was there once. I can't remember when, though.
So
the Lucha match, Blog doesn't know something exclusive.
the match was, I think they were bugged by the bad reaction because the crowd would cheer when they did a big move and then they would start chanting fraud as soon as the counter, like when Mystico does a good move, you'll hear a few fans cheer and then the Rudo fans try to drown them out with booing. This time they were trying to drown them out with fraud. And I think that shook both guys early. I think they messed up more spots than I think they normally would have, especially a couple times. They did, like, try to make it work when things went wrong.
Yeah.
But you could, if you've been watching the eight or so matches they've already had, you could see where things weren't going where they wanted them to go.
It's a very bipolar crowd because they wanted to chant fraud, but then they'd see an amazing move and they'd cheer. And then as the match went on, they really got into the near falls. Everybody, I mean, when Sombra was getting pinned, the screams in the crowd, everybody wanted to see him lose. So it was very dramatic live. I don't know how it came off on Terra, but live, very dramatic match, very good match. They blew a couple stuff, but the thing is, it's different. In the U.S., you know, you blow something, the crowd chants, you fucked up, or it takes them out of the match, and that's all they want to talk about afterwards. But here, I mean, they messed up. They were going for the code red, the sunset flip spot, and then Volador didn't get all the way around, so they landed, and then they turned it into like a gory special type move into a Frankensteiner, which got a huge reaction, and nobody was booing the missed move or anything like that. And they blew something at the end of the second fall too, but they got right on it. They did a big move after that, and the crowd cheered. And I thought both guys did good considering the circumstances that they were getting booed no matter what they did. They did the dive into the crowd right beside us.
Yeah, I think by like the third fall, the crowd was more focused on the match than the match they weren't having.
I think the crowd figured, hey, we paid our money, we might as well enjoy the match.
And it wasn't like people walked out of the building. No. The people who paid stuck around to make whatever noise they wanted to make. Some of them wasn't happy noise, but they stayed and saw the match.
I guess if I wanted to nitpick this match, I would say that they did about four or five pile drivers basically in the match. I don't get it. I hate it when Joe Leader and Ultimo Gladiador just randomly do pile drivers in matches. And then here, they got two counts, but then the guy was right back up the next second as if nothing happened. And of course, the finish of the match was a pile driver basically off the top rope. I don't know. One of the things I've always loved about Lucha Libre is you have that one move that's so dangerous and it's so historical. That move's always been used in big storylines, you know. And now it's basically, every match ends with a pile driver now, you know, so a Canadian, they use Canadian destroyers in opening matches now, so.
Yeah, Guerrero Negro. And it wasn't even like they sold the pile driver any big. Volador was up and happy, it was fine.
Yeah.
In the post-match up, they didn't put like a neck brace on him or anything. He seemed like he had a very, very tough workout, but he wasn't really hurt or injured in any way from a devastating move that caused him his mask.
Overall, great match. I mean, I was super into it. I loved it. It was more than I could expect live. And it was just interesting, the crowd reactions. That's the only thing that was different about it. It was like, I think, I don't know, it wasn't the best match they've had. They've definitely had better matches, but this is definitely going to be the one people remember, the most historic match for obvious reasons.
I think by the time that match was ending, I think they knew that they might have some bad fan reaction because maybe what I thought was the finish, but turned out maybe 5-7 minutes before the finish, security guys all rushed towards the ring to take up positions as if they need the black people coming in. And right after that, Boulder did his two, his front cracker and back cracker. And at that moment, I thought, oh my God, Sommer's going to lose, and they're going to surround the ring.
They got all their moves in. That's the key. Yeah. Like, if you, if you're a fan of theirs and you came to see something, you saw it. They did all the moves and more.
I thought the post-match unmasking was really...
The garbage was flying right at the finish, by the way.
Yeah, at the finish and after the finish, and I don't think we got hit, but people standing in the front row, people throwing garbage do not have good arm strength. I've noticed. They should look at different options.
But the wrestlers did get pegged with some stuff, mostly the guys at ringside. Alexis got nailed in the head, I saw, with a drink.
Some of the other camera people did, too.
Yeah.
I saw all the CML crew all had new T-shirts. But
new CML staff T-shirts.
Very special.
But the unmasking was done very well. Volador grabbed the microphone and basically cut a promo on Sombra.
He said that the crowd may have not been happy with the finish, but he did all he could for
his... But he's going to be a professional
his,
and
take off. He did all the he could for his fans and right. that kind of thing.
And he took off his mask, and I read Dave Meltzer said it looked like a young Brian Alvarez, which is pretty funny because I kind of saw that too. But no, he looks like a young dude. I mean, and also his father unmasked, but we already know what he looks like.
Yeah. Sombra got both masks. Sombra at that point at the end was kind of playing into the booze because he kind of held up the mask in like a taunting fashion and kind of licked at it. Or no, he kissed it. That's what he did.
Yep.
And he was kind of playing with the booze at that point because he had really no choice. Mm-hmm. The crowd went back to the fraud chants as they were leaving the building and all the way out into the streets were just completely mobbed after that show. Yeah.
They really wanted you out of the show afterwards. Security was telling you to, like, you know, leave the foyer, don't wait there. Mm. We met up with Black Terry Jr. after the show. And
we saw Noriko again.
Yeah, we saw Noriko. Mm. Yep. We got the scoop on the mystery CML guy that's coming to New Japan to be opposite Rey Bucanero in the 8-man tag on the 19th?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh. I think so.
Something like
but
that.
But we're not allowed to say anything, so...
Well, you got the scoop. I was busy talking to other people and missed out this valuable info. Because I would share
I'm
that.
Not allowed to
I would
to
give
say
that away it. Right now and just ruin it for everybody.
Right. But I'm not allowed to say, but you guys will be happy. Don't worry. This is not going to be a disappointment.
Who was the other Japanese photographer we met?
I don't know. We're about to find out.
The Gong.
Weekly Gong.
Weekly Gong. We met someone from Weekly Gong, and he was very nice. He was telling us that he was checking info. If it wasn't on the Lucha Wiki, he figured it was an error and went back and changed it.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to make the Lucha Wiki like 10 times better after hearing stuff like that.
Probably.
But
it was a great show. I mean,
we met Daniel there. We met Alfredo there. They were both very nice people.
They're the ones who are sitting in the room listening to us ramble on now.
Yeah. We got back in the cab, we went and had some tacos, so that's why this podcast is being done at 3 a.m.
Basically.
But the tacos were very good. I enjoyed those. I enjoyed the rice drink I had, too.
People watching you and screaming, for all of the tacos.
Yeah.
Yep. It was it's a night many people aren't going to forget. Let's just put it that way.
Even the doorman at the hotel when we came back in.
The doorman was talking about it, yeah. So yesterday you gave IWRG, well, I gave it 9 out of 10 because I didn't want to give it a 10 out of 10, but I would have given it a 10 out of 10. What would you give tonight's show, let's say, out of 10?
It's so hard to, it's memorable, 10 out of 10, definitely. This is show on
the experience trip. Live was fantastic. I mean, unbelievable.
I mean, if you're going to see Arena Mexico the first time, you should wait till they have a 90th anniversary or 100th anniversary. I'm sure that'll be a pretty good show. I don't think most people are going to have the experience, but that show itself and that it was their first time made it really, really special. I think it's probably... It sounds like everyone who saw the show online really liked it as well, but being there for the first time made it really a great experience. And I think I have to give it a 10 out of 10, but I don't want to be unfair to IWRG because that was really good too.
Yep.
Comparing slightly different shows, IWRG and the 80th anniversary of CML, but they were both... Everything we've seen so far has been really fun.
Yeah, I had the time of my life. It's the best live wrestling experience I've ever had. And I've been to a ton of shows. I was even at Raw, which was not even close to the best live experience this week. But I've been to WrestleManias. And this is definitely, if you're one of those crazy wrestling fans who travel to different countries to see shows, you definitely need to come to Arena Mexico to see a CML show.
One of the big ones, definitely.
One of the big ones, yeah, definitely. So you get the big show feeling. And the wrestling was great. It was a perfectly fantastic anniversary show, if you ask me. I mean, I understand the disappointment people had, but I had a great time. I will never forget this show, and yeah. I'll give it a 10 out of 10.
Okay. So that's it for today. Tomorrow we're going
Let them do plugs.
We'll get to that.
Okay, sorry. he was cutting off the podcast.
We're doing the podcast producing while we're talking here.
Because yesterday he wanted to sleep, yes.
Okay, we're doing the... Tomorrow we're going to the Expo Mascaras. And then we're going to IWL. IWL. After. And that's it for tomorrow.
Más o menos. 100 luchadores. How many wrestlers are on the show? There's a million wrestlers on the show.
Yeah, we saw 25 guys tonight, and we saw about 20 guys last night. We're going to see more in that in the IWL show.
Yep.
And then there's a wrestling show at the Expo Mascara, so that should be fun too.
Lots of juniors, lots of Coco Rojo Jr., Scorpion Dorada Jr. Yeah, a whole bunch of juniors. And then... Sunday.
It's almost like being second generation helps you somehow in wrestling.
Yes, almost like it's a family thing. And then Sunday, we're going with the same lineup Sunday. The only thing that's changed so far is that we're not going to Club Leones because Black Terry informed us that it's way too far away.
Yeah.
And we will never make it back in time. So instead, we're going to just stick to our normal. We're going to go to RCH, and that's the only thing we're going to do that day probably.
So,
And we got an added show. We're probably, don't get mad at us people, but we're probably going to skip out early of Marco and...
don't get mad at Marco.
Yeah, we're going to skip out of Marco and Mr. Niebla early, because that's going to be on TV anyways.
And we're going to see the benefit show they're doing for Judas Altered or in Arena Lopez.
Arena Lopez Mateos, yep, in Tlalnepantla. That's terrible. Say it.
Tlalnepantla.
There you go. Yeah. See, authentic pronunciation.
Okay, so I think that's it for tonight. If our guests want to plug where they can see, people can see their work, their excellent work, they can go ahead. Daniel, who does the awesome action figures that you all like.
Yeah, Daniel Gonzalez.
Yes, his Twitter is @_DanielGonzalez.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out because he posted the photos of his work and that we're seeing. And Black Terry, do you have when Flickr is working? Can they see you on there?
Facebook, Lucha Mundial.
Yeah.
And Flickr, Black Terry.
Yeah.
And TV Lucha del Pasado. YouTube channel.
Mine is luchamaniamonterrey.com.
Yes.
And Facebook, Lucha Mania Monterrey, the same.
Yes. Facebook, not Twitter. Facebook.
Yeah, well, Twitter too.
Twitter from Facebook.
We may last like 2 days before I see you, but...
And we got, actually, when we went for tacos, we got to hear all these great stories about wrestling in Monterrey, in northern Mexico. Yeah. We heard about a 30-hour bus ride to go to an ROH show in Chicago, which sounds like a crazy damn experience. But, one thing I still want to mention, though, again, I'm going to keep saying this for people who want to come next year. Everybody has been so nice on this trip, so accommodating, helping us, showing us where to go. Helping us with stuff we don't know, and we got back here like 1:30. No, it was 12:30, and we walked to a place to eat in the middle of the night. You know, there were six of us, but you know, we were in no danger at any time. There's we weren't watching like gangsters like shooting each other, stabbing each other. I mean,
there was no drug running or anything in our sight.
It was just a calm night. Not we took yet. A stroll and we went to eat. And perhaps when we stop this podcast, we're about to get robbed of everything.
Yes.
It's a very, over-exaggerated so far, all the threats of violence and all that.
Even the teachers' march, it shut down the subways and everything and messed up the traffic, but really, it didn't affect what we were doing too much.
Yep. And we shall continue tomorrow on with Black Terry Jr. guiding us on our journey.
Yeah. So we'll talk to you then.